Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
Let's now move over to another case that we've been watching now for 32 days as of this recording, the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie. And despite tens of thousands of tips, extensive forensic analysis, and round-the-clock investigative work, there's still no suspect in custody, no clear resolution in sight. What has emerged, though, is an avalanche of theories: cartel kidnappings, coordinated ransom schemes, private jets to Puerto Vallarta, even retaliation for U.S. drug policy. The public has gravitated towards these elaborate narratives with fervor, but the evidence on the ground tells a very different story. An unprepared suspect who didn't even know there was a doorbell camera, improvised plant material to cover the lens, and amateurish weapons handling. So why is it so hard for so many people to accept that this might simply be a burglary gone catastrophically wrong, especially when it involves someone famous? Joining me and Robin Drake to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. As always, Siobhan, welcome and thank you for being here. Let's just start right there. This is a big case. Obviously, it has a huge amount of attention. Nancy's not just one of 600,000 people that go missing in the United States every year. I mean, she is, but the level of attention to detail and focus on this is certainly far beyond what 99.9% of those missing people get. And even that hasn't really proven to be all that much more powerful or effective at finding her. What do you think is going on here with just kind of the general outlook that our society has on this case? Are people expecting something much larger and much bigger because the story is so large and so big, and it's really hard to kind of wrap one's mind around that this may be something very simple and very stupid?
Yeah, you know, our human brains are storytelling machines. It's how we get through the world, how we try to make sense of the world. And people love an exciting narrative, you know? I mean, it's why we watch action movies or whatever. It's like people just get a little sense of pleasure out of the excitement. And it doesn't mean they have any malevolent intent. It's not like they're wishing that way, but it's just kind of a human tendency to fill in the gaps when we don't know what happened with speculation. And, you know, going back to that dopamine thing, it's a little exciting to imagine that it's this big, elaborate, you know, plot by a cartel or something like that. So I think it's just kind of a human tendency.
So, you know, boy, this case, as Tony knows, we've handled so many conspiracy theories on this, and which is fun to entertain from my standpoint, because I enjoy breaking them down and piece by piece, bit by bit, so you can debunk conspiracy theories. But that takes a level of curiosity to want to do that. I'm curious. You know, curiosity is born in us as a species, because without it, we would not survive into adolescence, into adulthood. What prevents people from becoming curious about, you know, they grab on to these stories, and granted, you know, we're a species that has evolved because we're storytellers and we have the ability to share thoughts and ideas through story and anecdote. But what is the human resistance to curiosity about those stories to dig deep? Because that's what keeps happening here, is people grab on to these some real nutter theories and they just will not let go.
I think it's sort of that emotional investment. And once they make a public commitment to a story, it's almost like, well, this is my story and I'm not letting go of it. So you've got that ego investment in it. Yeah. And they enjoy their story and they They want to stick
to
it.
Ego investment. Good one on that one, too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thing to think of, the ego investment in it. And people, you know, they're going to run it through their own prism and their own life experiences and who they've interacted with in their life. And without a doubt, the stories that we come across, that there's certain ones that hit closer to home for each and every one of us, depending on what we've all gone through. Mm-hmm. And those ones that hit closer to home are you know, I gravitate towards some of them more. I feel like I can speak to them more because mm-hmm. of that relationship. And in a case like this, where you have all these theories out there, you have, and the family's obviously been cleared, but you still got people that are leaning on the family. You still got people that are leaning on the friend over here. You got people that are leaning on this person over there. And in each of those lanes, there's the villain, if you will. Mm-hmm. I'd be really curious for the folks that are hanging on to some of those lanes and still repeating things that have been debunked over and over again. And there's nothing wrong with curiosity, but when you can't get out of the lane, even when you've been proven wrong, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And what I'm wondering is, if we were to go to those people and take a look at their own history, if the ones that are having thoughts on the family, if you would find that those people had issues with their own family.
Yeah.
And so forth. If you found it was this type of person over here, if you find that that person had issues with that type of person in their life in some shape or form. And they're basically deflecting their own issues, their own neuroses on these people onto this case because it makes it more relatable. But then they're also kind of subconsciously, it's becoming more personal to them in ways that they're not even aware of.
Yeah, we call that projection, right? They're taking their own history and putting it out there on other people. And I find the speculation about the family members' involvement particularly troubling. I mean, my gosh, these people are going through hell, and knowing that there are people out there who are blaming them for it or holding them responsible in some way, that's just really toxic. I that really makes me cringe when I read those things.
I mean, it's always important to ask questions and dig and look at the beginning of an investigation. As in this case, the family's always going to be looked at first. That's not anything unusual. They're going through and they're checking the boxes to go, okay, we can rule this out and we can keep looking.
Right.
But you got to start somewhere. But again, it's is it also, We are in such a weird place in our society right now. I know we've talked about it before, where when somebody digs into something, they don't want to be wrong. Why are we in such a place? Have we always been here where people don't want to be wrong on things, and now we just, everybody has a platform to not be wrong about the things they're wrong about?
It does seem people dig in online, and once they dig in and they take a stand, they're going to argue their stand, and that's sort of like their ego death if they had to let go of that. You know, I'm not going to let go of it. But I also notice, I don't always read all the comments that come up online, but when I do, you've got some people who really are pretty good at wanting to look at evidence and analyze it and think it through, as you say, be curious. And other people just aren't very good at it. You know, I mean, you can tell the things they say that they're not thinking about this in a sophisticated way. Which we've probably always had that variance in people who can analyze data and be open-minded and try to look for real evidence, and they're grounded, you know, just kind of grounded people. And then you've got people who are just kind of simplistic thinkers. So it's probably always been that way.
Yeah.
It's a shame too, because the amount of resources we have now compared to even like a year or two or 5 years ago with our ability to research online all these things is pretty profound. I mean, it's so, I mean, most of what I do is not like all I come up with all my research stats, averages on all the things that we do, because I'm always curious about it. And I'm always looking to ground it on truth and reality, not on conjecture. You know, conjecture is fun, but then you got to see if it actually holds water or not.
Yeah.
We have the resources to do this. I mean, I'm not pulling anything from my experience and background of 22 years with the FBI where I'm coming up with these stats. I'm literally researching it real time. And so how do you re-spark that curiosity in people to interrogate these thoughts in a meeting. Because that's the biggest problem with social media today is people are just consuming surface level clickbait garbage and running with it. How do you inspire an entire generation of people to just take it in and let's interrogate that information to see if it holds water, because we are going down some dark paths right if we don't.
Yeah, it's troubling, and everybody can be loud, and sometimes the loudest people have the dumbest ideas. And how do we inspire them? I mean, I've literally, as you, I try to, if I put something in writing, particularly like on Substack or in other social media, I try to do my research, and I try not to state something as a fact unless I have backup for it. And I can say there are studies, we've got data. And, you know, then I've got the 65-year-old truck driver named Fred who didn't graduate high school telling me I don't know what I'm talking about. And he's going to die on this hill over this issue. And, you know, that's when I have learned they don't care. He's not a thinker. He's not going to look at data. He doesn't know what data is. And just let him be wrong and move on.
But, one word. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Let okay. them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mel Robbins. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then I went back to the other one after you got me to read that book, and my wife read it too. You know, after let them, I always say to my wife, let me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Siobhan, let me ask you this. I mean, after, you know, we're like I said, as of a recording, we're 32 days into this. We know very little about this person other than the fact that they thought, you know, putting cilantro on a doorbell was going to be, you know, something great. It's, and they have a Walmart backpack. There's very little that's known. But based on what we do have, again, very little. So I, you know, temper it with that. You wrote, you know, your book here, The Minds of Mass Killers. What strikes you? We have nobody that's come forward that's, you know, taken up anybody on the ransom or anything. There's just nothing, no communication, period. And the last we know is that they put stuff on Nancy's doorbell and Nancy's gone. What kind of person is this? Is this a mass killer? Is this a kidnapper? Is this a cartel? Is this a B&E that's just gone wrong and somebody's hiding?
Yeah, I go with the simplest explanation that fits what evidence we have. And as you say, we don't have a lot.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the sophistication of a cartel. It doesn't have, you know, the mass killers that I write about were people that go out and try to, you know, the mass shooters particularly, go out and take out as many strangers as they can in a public place. It's certainly not someone like that. It does seem, to some degree, it looks targeted. That's what they've said, that they thought it was targeted, but that doesn't mean sophisticated. Mm-hmm. And it looked like a person, to my mind, most likely a person coming in for a burglary. There was a confrontation and there was a bad outcome. And then the person sort of, you know, goes into a panic. What can I do? Well, if there's no body found, it's going to be harder to prove anything, which is true in many cases. And that's sort of what I expect. And this yeah. person may just be very quiet about it. And we have seen other cases, I've certainly seen them, where people have been murdered and they just never talked. Yeah. And so it's sad. It's unfortunate. We'd rather that there was a ransom that the family could pay and then have a good outcome, but it's not looking like that.
Yeah, that's not the way it works in those ransom cases either. And yeah. you're citing all the great examples of again, you just look at the research, you look at the background of types of cases like this. And I've said this before too, is I think, and someone put this in the comments earlier, then, you know, they have, but they haven't caught the guy yet, you know, and they caught Koberger. When it comes to sophistication. Yeah. But there was, we still have time on this. We're still within yeah. a window of mm-hmm. people being caught. Yeah. And I still think when they do catch this individual, because Pima County Sheriff's, as I said the other day, has a very, very good rate of catching the bad guys. The clearance rates in that county are very good. Their detectives are really good, at least their track record is. And I think people are going to be extremely underwhelmed with who this is.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a hard one to describe. And I think, you know, you're saying the word targeted earlier, and I that word keeps getting thrown around. And I think there's a real confusion on terms and the weight that they have and what they actually mean with people. And I think that that's a big confusion point in this case and in many cases. Because when you say the word targeted, I feel like some people will invoke, depending on their prism, of what that actually means. And they hear targeted. Oh, they picked Nancy Guthrie because, and they assign all these other things to it that aren't there. Targeted can simply mean old lady, sleeps at night, has money, house in a neighborhood that like is difficult to like navigate and get around, and nobody's just driving around there. That's targeted. That's targeted. It doesn't mean because it's Savannah Guthrie's mom or because of this or because of that. It can just be something so simple. And the more that we hear about this case, the more we hear about this neighborhood too. I was on Court TV last night talking about it, and they were kind of going around and showing the neighborhood. It is very secluded. It is very much by itself. It's the perfect place to do a B&E because you're not going to have drive-by traffic that's going to see anything weird. People are like, see, it's targeted because it's so secluded. But they were not pointing it out because of that reasoning. It was like, it's targeted because it's Nancy Guthrie's house. No, it's because nobody's going to catch anybody doing this.
Right. You know, and here's the impact that a word targeted, you know, and this is where our confirmation biases come in. Because, you know, so think about this. As a society, especially in the U.S., when we hear the word targeted, when other times in our lives have we heard the word targeted? Well, we hear it when we watch Mission Impossible, Bourne Identity, Criminal Minds. Mm-hmm. You know, so we see this world most often in a fictional Hollywood way. And so now we're equating that word targeted to everything we see in law enforcement, which is reality and not that fiction we see. And so we expect different things to happen because we have this grandiosity thought of what's going to happen based on these TV shows and hearing that word targeted. That's why I think we're going to be underwhelmed with that. And also that word targeted, you know, means a lot of different things. I'm sorry.
Yeah, very, very, very true.
It sounds big. It gets attention and people pay attention. It's a key word. It's a hot word that people tend to gravitate to. Obviously, very sad case. Still no answers. And we'll keep talking about it. All right. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, as always, thank you so much for being here and giving us your insight on these cases. Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agency for the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Thank you for being here. If you want to weigh in on all of these cases, please do so. Our Substack, our YouTube, the links are in the description. Love to get your thoughts. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you are listening or watching this so you don't miss any of our coverage. We'll continue our conversation in the comments section. Until then, for Siobhan, Todd, and Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.